Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
Welcome back, everybody. It's Sports Daily on this Reaction Monday. Tommy Caster, Paul Savage in for Jacob Albrock, Jad Chambers producing the program. Joined now by the voice of the Kansas State Wildcats, Wyatt Thompson, for our weekly visit on Mondays. Wyatt, let's just jump right into it, I suppose. It was a rough weekend for the Wildcats in several different ways. Of course, the weather was not ideal down in Houston with delays and the rain and all of that. And then ultimately, the Cougars upset the Wildcats by a final score of 24-19. About, you know, little less than 48 hours post that game. What do you feel like the vibe is right now around the program?
I think total disappointment and frustration, if you want to know the truth. I think everybody, whether it's the fan base, the coaching staff, players, people that follow the team on a daily basis, athletic department folks, I mean, it was a bummer of a day. I was trying to think of one that could match it in most recent times, just in terms of the fact that you don't play really very well, but you have a 19-10 lead in the fourth quarter and let it slip away. On a weekend where there were plenty of upsets, certainly, don't debate that at all, but boy, you win that game, you're in awfully good shape with the Iowa State loss. It's a stinger. You can't mask it. You just can't.
Yeah, and you know, we talked before we brought you on in our first segment just about what Houston was able to do, and I used the phrase that they muddied up the game, both literally and figuratively, obviously, but just in the style in which they played. You know, Willie Fritz made that quarterback change over to Zion Chris a couple of weeks ago, and it was the Zion Chris game. I mean, whether he was throwing it through the air and was super efficient when he did it, or running the football, it wasn't like he did anything spectacular in running the football, but he consistently got Houston in positions where they were able to extend drives or get into the end zone. And then those 14 unanswered points in the fourth quarter, you know, obviously the key to the game for Houston.
Without a doubt. And those points, in all frankness, coming on Kansas State mistakes. I think when you look at the totality of the ball game, you can kind of boil all of the water out of it and say probably something like this. K-State got beat at the line of scrimmage on offense for the most part. They got beat at the line of scrimmage defensively. Mistakes and just you can't average 2.6 yards per carry on the road and beat anybody, man. You just can't do it. And you know, K-State's been better than that, but they weren't Saturday. I'm going to give Houston a lot of credit for like you say, muddying up the game, doing enough. I've heard so many people say, well, that guy couldn't throw at all. Well, he was 11 for 11, so right. That's probably inaccurate.
Yeah.
Is he great? Certainly not. But they did just enough. They hurt K-State on about four plays. And unfortunately, because of scoring just 19 points, it got them beat. Simple as that.
You know, the interesting thing, I love the way you brought up the physicality of the line of scrimmage. And inevitably, you and I always talk about it whenever you and I are together on an interview like this. And I really appreciate you bringing it up, because here's my question to you. Is the great teams are the ones that they don't have their aggressiveness, their rugged play on the line of scrimmage – their ability to get movement on offense and to prevent movement on defense. Those are the teams that win games, win championships, and go to playoffs. And we have been talking about the Kansas State Wildcats as one of those teams where they had the potential to be that team. They have dominated a lot of games up front. Why did they not dominate this game? Because it looked like to me they had better personnel than Houston had. I was trying to figure this out because you're right. Your comment that they were not dominant at the line of scrimmage on both sides of the balls, Wyatt, is 100% spot on.
Well, you said a lot there, Paul, and I guess what I would start with is this. On this particular day,
okay, yeah,
Houston's front defensively was better than K-State's.
Yeah, you're right.
K-State's offensive line. Uh-huh. And I'm looking at and I'm seeing Keith Cooper, who played for Coach Fritz at Tulane, Carlos Allen, Anthony Holmes, Ikea Strong. Those names really don't mean anything to those people listening to this, but they mean a lot to Houston. And I said last week, be aware of this team defensively. They're better than you think. They're better than you know. They were third in the league in total defense going into the weekend. They're not a joke defensively. They have really struggled offensively. Guys, they were 3-5 going into the game, had been shut out twice in league play. But that was back earlier on. I'm not saying they've arrived and are great. That's not what I mean. But they have defensively, and they were just good enough offensively that in combination, and then with K-State's play, you know, you've got a very frustrating 24-19 loss. It's as simple as that. Hope I answered the question. But their defensive front stuffed K-State.
Yeah,
they just did most of the day.
You know, Wyatt, I don't mean this as a knock at all on Chris Klieman. I have a ton of respect for Chris Klieman. I think he's a phenomenal coach. But in this particular game, you know, Houston was not the more talented team. They were not the more athletic team. They were not the better team, but they were better coached. And Willie Fritz is a phenomenal coach. And the fact that he has been able to get this team, you know, which I mean, they're in a rebuild, but he's accelerated that rebuild, and they're two wins away from a bowl game. And I don't know what it is about Fritz specifically, but he tends to play the Wildcats pretty tough. He did when he was at Tulane. I wonder if that shone through from your perspective in watching the game, and in that, man, Willie Fritz, he's getting so much more out of so much less than maybe what people expected him to do.
Well, I'm going to say this, not that I'm trying to correct you, but so much less offensively.
Sure, sure, 100%.
I do think if you're looking at this defense and crunching numbers against everybody else in the league, they are one of the top three or four or five defenses in the league. Where they won the game probably was those three or four plays. I mean, they scored their first two touchdowns based on long pass plays. One was an actual scoring play to Manjack, and then the other gets him down inside the five. But, I mean, you think about all of the things. You know, K-State was hurt by penalties. They were hurt by the two interceptions, particularly with the timing of it. But you miss an extra point. You have a bad snap on a field goal. I mean, there's 4 points right there. You're going to overtime tied to 24 if you do that. You know, so you can look at a lot of different things. It wasn't Avery's best game. I don't know. I'm going to say that most people will agree with me on this. I thought, you know, the play calling was in the first drive was pretty darn good. After that, you could probably question it, right? I guess that's the thing. I'm not saying what you're saying doesn't have some validity, because it does, but. Because are they one of the better teams in the league? No. And is K-State? I think so.
Yeah.
You know, but Coach Klieman has said, hey, we've played a lot of teams and beaten a lot of teams that are probably better than us, but we do it with what we do. And what we do didn't happen Saturday.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, following up a little bit on what you mentioned with Avery Johnson, yeah, I mean, he threw a couple of picks, and, you know, the one late absolutely was a backbreaker for the Wildcats. Are there any lingering concerns about his play on Saturday, or can you chalk it up to just kind of like the BYU game? Like, things just sort of snowballed. It wasn't a great offensive outing. You can take the weather into account and all of that, but he still is Avery Johnson, and he'll still be great, and he will continue to do that and bounce back next week. Or was there anything that you saw that you're like, man, that might be something they need to kind of work through?
Well, I think there's a little of all of it on the table, probably. Would Avery tell you if he were sitting here that he's got to get better and make some better decisions in a few of those moments on Saturday? No question. Does K-State need to run the ball better? Yeah. Better pass defense? You betcha. The frustrating thing is, and I'm just going to look at this, I'll lean over here and look at my defensive chart. The frustrating thing is, if you really, at least from my perspective here, is you gave up 232 yards on the road and got beat.
Right.
That's not a gut punch. That's 10 gut punches, right? I mean, you win those games most of the time, and yet you didn't. And again, I'm not going to say too much about the weather. They had to play in it too.
Sure.
Right. They made just enough plays offensively. I'll go back to that because the long plays, the game winning, you know, long touchdown run wasn't very good defense on K-State's part. If you take out those plays, and you can't, but if you do, they defended them well enough to win the game. But offensively, you know, we could talk about that all day. Again, I go back to K-State averaged 4.4 yards per play.
Yeah.
Not per rush, per play.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the health care you earned and deserve.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
Just not good enough.
You know, earlier in the show, my broadcast partner and I, he's smart at times. There's
every
times,
once in a while.
Every once in a while. Tommy's pretty darn smart. And I made the comment. I just blurted it out. I said, it looks like to me at this point, it looks like the Big 12 is only going to get one team into the final 12 playoffs. And Tommy then said, being a great broadcast partner, he said, well, it might be too if BYU wins out and then ends up losing in the championship game, maybe the champion and BYU would go into the playoffs. Is that a scenario that's possible, or would, as Tommy brought up, a team like Alabama, or would somebody like that be higher rated or looked upon in a greater way than, say, a BYU?
Well, it really is a great subject and question, and I would tell you that if you're playing the odds under that particular scenario, I'm not a betting man, but I would say look out for Alabama to make it and a Big 12 number two team to not. Just based on what we've seen before. Now, you can make the argument that a 12-team playoff is going to be different and maybe more fair than a four, and I would like to think that is so, but I'm not going to kid you guys. I've said this forever. There is bias in it, and there always has been, and maybe there always will be. I think there's bias when you get down to NCAA tournament bracket and those last few teams and who gets in and who doesn't. That's just the nature of it. Doesn't mean it's crooked necessarily, but, you know, the TV matters, and it always, and it more so now than ever before. So I worry about that from the perspective of the league. And you know, that, I mean, the way we feel today, I'm going to guess Iowa State folks are feeling the exact same way.
Yeah.
Well, and they lost a home game, and most don't do that in this league if you're going to make playoffs. So, you know, there's still a long ways to go, and I would make the argument of, I'm not worrying about the playoffs today. We've got Arizona State in here in 2 weeks, and they just crushed Oklahoma State in Stillwater. And I know OSU struggled. I get it. But Cincinnati and then in Ames.
Yeah.
Let's go be 10-2, and then we can make our argument after that.
Yeah. And to your point, I mean, the only silver lining for the Wildcats on Saturday was that Iowa State lost. And, you know, obviously there could have been that opportunity to, you know, Iowa State loses, Kansas State wins. Then you've got the very first CFP rankings coming out tomorrow. Could Kansas State have maybe squeaked into that if they had won on Saturday? Maybe. You know, so like there's a lot of what ifs there that we'll never know. But we do know that at least with Iowa State losing, the door is not shut on Kansas State playing for a Big 12 championship. But that margin of error has gotten smaller and smaller and smaller, and it starts in 2 weeks with an Arizona State team that I don't think anybody had really had on their radar at all this season. And here they are, 6-2. They're 3-2 in the Big 12. And like you just mentioned, they put a thumping on Oklahoma State on Saturday. There's definitely there's a threat there from the Sun Devils. I mean, there's no doubt about that, and something that the Wildcats are going to have to get ready for in 2 weeks.
Yeah, and you know what? They're a different team when Sam Leviter's their quarterback. That is a highly rated young man who transferred in there, has fit into what they do. Scataboo has great talent as a hard runner, but also as a receiver in the backfield. Jordan Tyson's one of the most underrated receivers in our league. They will be a hard out, I think. Back to the 12 for a moment, that, you know, and we probably should try to augment our point from a moment ago by saying, if you're Iowa State and Kansas State, the one team you're worrying about right now isn't as much Alabama as it is Colorado.
Sure.
Oh, that could
100%,
be right.
100%.
You know why?
Yeah.
Dion.
Yeah.
And the magnitude of the television stuff there. It matters, guys. That's what we were saying. You can argue all day long whether the committee will take that into consideration or not. I'm just saying it has the TV's going to make an influence, and that's the nature of it.
I think you're spot on there, and the fact that you've got a Big 12 that has beat up on each other and cannibalized each other with teams that, you know, nobody had on the radar. You know, we talked about Arizona State just a second ago. BYU was completely off the radar, and now all of a sudden they're a top 10 team nationally and still undefeated and all of that. I wonder, from the perspective of Coach Klieman, the coaching staff, the team, you've got this off week, and then you go into playing Arizona State, then Cincinnati, then Farmageddon to wrap up the season. What are some things in your mind that you think that this program either will be working on or should be working on in preparation for not only Arizona State, but the remainder of the regular season, that maybe reared its ugly head against Houston, or things that they need to shore up before they play the Sun Devils next weekend?
Well, I think most things you would point to are correctable things. That's probably the best part. After the game, my statement leading into Coach Klieman, you know, K-State fought, too many mistakes to win, you know, did some good things. But he said, the fundamental things of the game, K-State wasn't good enough. And what he's talking about is, you know what, we talked about the snap and the hold issues, but there were some good punts and there were some punts that hurt K-State, you know, return kind of thing, coverage kind of thing, sustaining blocks, right? All of those kind of things really matter. And over the course of his 6 years here, K-State's been pretty darn good at that most of the time. Occasionally they will have one of these kind of games, and you just have to continue to grind with it. I think the coaches like this group of guys. I know how much they hurt. I was sitting on that plane right behind a bunch of them, and they were hurting. So I think they'll get back to work. But it's you're going to have to get your mind right and get going and flush that. And it's hard to do because it meant so much in the grand scheme and the big picture, both in the league and nationally.
You know why? 100% true. You know why it's going to get harder in the future, and I think Tommy would agree with this, because some of the teams in the Big 12 are not the teams I thought they were going to be early in the year, and I'll confess I thought Utah was going to be better than they were. I quite frankly thought Arizona was going to be better than Arizona State. I really did. Now maybe I shouldn't have thought that, but that's what I thought. I'm having a hard time figuring out who's going to be a power in football conferences until they get started doing that. What is your way of evaluating who's going to be those teams that have the strength from the beginning to the end? Because I'm not sure the way I've been looking at it has been the right way. Why? What do you do?
Okay, let's go away from the Big 12 a second.
Okay.
Because I've been thinking about this all weekend. Okay. When you talk about the 12, would you say they will or they won't when that first one comes out tomorrow that Indiana's in that top 12?
Well, it's got to be.
I think they will.
It's got to be, doesn't it?
Uh-huh. Well, that's the debate, and here's my point. Their non-conference schedule, Florida International.
Not good.
Western Illinois and Charlotte.
Yeah.
The reality of it is that's not very damn good.
Yeah.
It isn't. K-State played, as an example, at Tulane, right?
Right.
And against Arizona at home.
Yeah. Yeah.
Look, I guess we could look at Iowa State, too. Remember now, everybody's all in love with Colorado right now, but they lost at Nebraska and got pumped, right? So all I guess I'm trying to say is there's so much to – you know, take into consideration here. I'm anxious to look at that first one just to see what it looks like, because when you look at the top programs and you look at the rankings, I mean, let's not even worry about right now with the top six or seven or eight. It's more about that next group, because that next group, you go anywhere from 8 to 16, maybe even 17.
It's really muddy.
What's the difference?
Yeah.
Not much.
Yeah, it gets really jumbled up there. And you know, to your point, even a BYU team that is leading the Big 12 and undefeated outside of, you know, what really is a quality, big-time quality win against SMU in the non-conference, you know, they've also got wins over Southern Illinois and Wyoming, you know, in their non-conference. So that's not, outside of SMU, a really big-time non-conference schedule either. So there's just a lot of jumbled-up teams right there. And you know, Kansas State, like we talked about before, they're not out of it, but they're going to have to win out. They're going to have to beat Iowa State in Ames at the end of the season and all of that. We don't yet know, because we're still a ways out, we don't yet know game time for the Arizona State game next weekend. But knowing, you know, we're going into this off week and for Kansas State and all of that, I mean, you're going to get a little bit of rest, I would think. I mean, I know we've got basketball season and everything. We'd be remiss to not, you know, at least mention hoop season kicking off and everything. You've got the first game tomorrow night inside Bramlage for the regular season. So I guess maybe there's not quite as much rest as maybe you would like, Wyatt.
Well, but that's okay, though, too. I'm excited for basketball to get started. I mean, you think about, you know, today and tomorrow is really kind of the opening nights for everybody.
Yeah.
It's just amazing to me to sit there and look at the polls and see in the top 10, you've got five Big 12 teams.
Oh, right? Yeah, that's right.
That's wild. But it probably should be like that. I'm anxious to see, you know, what some of these teams look like. In particular, our group here, I like these guys. They've got some things to work on after the Fort Hays exhibition for sure, too. So let's see what the week has brought from that perspective. Then you turn right around and have Cleveland State coming in here on Saturday. So, it may be a little bit of a slower week for football, at least in terms of games.
Sure.
But across my shoulder and up at the Vanier complex, I guarantee you those coaches are working to get those guys better for the next, you know, couple of weeks. So this is a big time right now, man. We're in November now. It's time to go, go, go.
Yep. Well, and, you know, like I mentioned, we won't have a Kansas State broadcast this weekend for the off week. And we don't have game time yet on Arizona State next weekend. But as soon as we get that, we'll share that with everyone. And then, of course, basketball tomorrow night inside Bramlage. You'll be on the call. And so we're looking forward to hearing that as everything gets kicked off for college basketball. Wyatt, we appreciate your time. And, of course, we'll talk to you again next week.
Sounds good, guys. Nice talking to you. Right. Appreciate you.
There goes Wyatt Thompson, voice of the Wildcats here on Sports Daily. And as I mentioned before, we'll have all the coverage of Kansas State basketball tomorrow night right here on KFH. We'll take another timeout. On the other side, some breaking news in the NFL that I want to get to, Paul, that came out right about the time that we were coming on the air. So we'll mention that, bring that up, and then get more into the NFL and the Chiefs in action Monday Night Football tonight, taking on the Buccaneers. We'll be right back. It's Sports Daily on KFH.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the health care you earned and deserve.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app